And tonight I want to feature a writer by the name of Jonathan Cook. He's a journalist. For those of you who know him, I'm sure you're happy that I'm doing this. And if you don't know him, it's perfect then, because you ought to. Jonathan Cook is an award-winning British journalist. He's based in Nazareth in Israel. He's the author of three books, Blood and Religion, The Unmasking of the Jewish State, Israel and the Clash of Civilizations, Iraq, Iran, and the Plan to Remake the Middle East. And thirdly, he wrote Disappearing Palestine, Israel's Experiments in Human Despair. Also, one of his reports called Israel Brings Gaza Entry Restrictions to the West Bank was voted by Project Censored, one of the most important stories censored in 2009-2010. His reports and commentaries are featured in the most important European newspapers, the most important Middle Eastern newspapers, but his work cannot be found, at least I can't find them, in any American newspapers due to the self-censorship of the U.S. mainstream press when it comes to hearing the voice of the Palestinian narrative. He's contributed to many online sites, such as Counterpunch, which you can hear on KALW. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. And Al Jazeera as well. And he's only the only foreign correspondent based in Nazareth. And he explains, quote, many topics central to the dispute between Israelis and Palestinians, including the plight of the refugees and the continuing dispossession of Palestinians living as Israeli citizens, do not register on most reporters' radars based. Most reporters in Israel are based in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, and this is really not on their radar. He goes on to say, from Nazareth, the capital of the Palestinian minority in Israel, things look very different. There are striking and disturbing similarities between the experiences of Palestinians inside Israel and those inside the West Bank and Gaza. All have faced Zionism's appetite for territory and domination, as well as repeated attempts at ethnic cleansing. These unifying themes suggest that the conflict is less about the specific circumstances thrown up by the 1967 war and more about the central tenets of Zionism as expressed in the War of 1948 that founded Israel and the War of 1967 that breathed new life into its settler colonial agenda, unquote, from Jonathan Cook. He has his own website as well, and we will be linking to this at the Tangents website, as well as a link to the Edward Said National Conservatory of Music, where you can contribute if you are so moved. This particular entry from Jonathan, I'll excerpt from November the 24th, which was soon after the massacre in Paris. He says, with dismaying predictability, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu lost no time in exploiting the massacre in Paris. As he has done many times before, he claimed Europe's trauma was just a taste of the suffering Israelis have long known. Discounting decades of a brutal Israeli occupation as the cause of the recent wave of Palestinian attacks, Netanyahu said, quote, it is the terrorists who are to blame for terrorism, not the territories, not the settlements, and not any other thing, unquote. He added the world should learn from Israel's, quote, aggressive policy, unquote, how to defeat its enemies. Recently, Netanyahu unveiled the latest measure, outlawing the northern wing of the Islamic movement, which is a popular political party among Israel's Palestinian citizens. One in five in Israel is Palestinian. Political party, it's a party, but it's they will not, they aren't part of the Israeli Knesset. They make that conscious choice. Mr. Netanyahu and his ministers justified the decision by conflating the Islamic movement with Hamas and ISIS or ISIL. But while its leader, Sheikh Raheed Salah, rejects the idea of a Jewish state, the movement operates entirely within Israeli law. In fact, Israel's Shin Bet, the intelligence agency, opposed Mr. Netanyahu's move, admitting that it had failed to find any evidence linking the movement to violence. And they also went on to say, Shin Bet, opposes the outlawing of Mr. Saleh's movement because it feared the move would radicalize the Palestinian minority. Mr. Saleh's organization, as I mentioned, refuses to participate in the Israeli parliament and instead directs much of its efforts at religious instruction and good works, including health clinics and nurseries and sports clubs, to the poorest communities in Israel. And it's made it hugely popular. It has 10,000 paid-up members who now risk imprisonment. There are several benefits for Mr. Netanyahu and the Israeli right in equating all Islamic activism with terrorism. These are the words of journalist Jonathan Cook. Not least, international pressure to negotiate an end to the occupation is likely to lift. He can now recast Israel's conflict with the Palestinians from a national conflict into a religious and existential one. It also helps Netanyahu domestically. He needs an implacable foe to justify to Israelis why they need an authoritarian government like his. The U.S. nuclear deal with Iran removed Netanyahu's chief boogeyman. Meanwhile, Mahmoud Abbas's Palestinian Authority is helping to maintain order in the West Bank. Hamas is still licking its wounds in Gaza. So Netanyahu has to have an internal enemy now, thus the Islamic movement that the argument goes must be fought ruthlessly from within. Mr. Saleh's group fits the bill well. It has been an obstacle to two key planks of the Israeli rights agenda. Firstly, it has frustrated the government's efforts to drive tens of thousands of Bedouin from their ancestral villages into hugely deprived townships. The Islamic movement has helped to organize and strengthen these communities. Secondly, Mr. Saleh has taken on the fight at Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem as Jewish settler groups have used their government connections to gain ever greater purchase on the Holy Esplanade. Mr. Saleh's cry of Al-Aqsa is in danger has rallied huge numbers of supporters, Palestinians, with the advantage of Israeli citizenship to get involved at the mosque at a time when all other Palestinian players have been excluded from Jerusalem. Mr. Netanyahu characterizes that opposition to his Jerusalem policies as a terror-like, quote, incitement, unquote, saying it has triggered the current Palestinian unrest. Outlawing the Islamic movement looks set to be the first step down a path to greater political repression. And I'll conclude his blog by saying, last year, the Netanyahu government passed a law raising the electoral threshold so high that Israeli-Palestinian political parties would not be able to pass it. So what they did, against all odds, was they created all these disparate political factions, created what's called the Joint List, which is now the third largest in the chamber. The crackdown on the Islamic movement paves the way to justifying a ban on members of the Joint List. The Balad faction in particular has argued that Israel cannot be both Jewish and democratic. Its demand that Israel choose democracy, becoming, quote, a state of all its citizens, unquote, has outraged the right and led to repeated efforts to ban it. That now seems likelier than ever. And if Balad is outlawed too, the Joint List will collapse and the Palestinian parties will be forced out of the arena.